Darlene, the last time we was here, we was touching on some of the unique things and the way your office was different to some of the other ones. And we was kind of, I guess, in the last segment talking about the requirement to have a test to take your office. And I don't know if you had any more thoughts on it. One thing I was going to, that's something I wish, and I know it's been talked before, but I think every public office really ought to have some kind of aptitude test. I don't think people, until they really realize what's required, so naturally making sure that person has some idea of what it's going to take to effectively manage that elected office. So I think that's something that the circuit clerk's office and PVA have right in that they do require testing to run for that office. But any other thoughts on the testing process or requirements to run for your office?
Oh, I believe that also. I think every office should have to take some type of test. I think that one of the things that I've been told by AOC for part of their test, in some of the even smaller counties than us, they have gotten elected officials in office maybe that couldn't read and write. And that's really hard to be able to run an office, you know. And there's a lot of people that, you know, that worked hard on farms and stuff and were not afforded the opportunity to go to school. You know, they just didn't get that opportunity. And that doesn't make them any less intelligent, but it makes it very hard for them to be able to operate an office on a day-to-day basis.
I would agree, and I think now, even different from years past, things have changed in technology. It's almost impossible
Oh,
if you
yes.
can't function that way. So I do think a testing ideal is a good thing and something I wish would be established in all the constitutional offices here. But another thing I think that's a little different that people may not really realize, unlike most of the other offices you have in the courthouse, like as I said there again, you and the PBA's office, kind of like you're funding mostly comes from state monies versus actual local input. So, when they hear us talking about the jail budget or something, the reason they never hear us talk about the circuit clerk's office is because we have no direct, I guess the most direct contact we really have in that regards is we as a court lease you all or the AOC space in the courthouse to operate that. But far as actual connection financially, you're not associated with the local government in that regard.
My salary and my staff's salary are paid through the Kentucky Court of Justice, through AOC. They tell me how many people I can hire. They tell me what supplies I can buy. I'm not required to fix a budget like other offices are. If I need to buy a chair or buy a ream of paper, I have to get that approved through AOC. I can't buy a pack of ink pens that I have to go through AOC. Everything I do comes through them. The only I send my bookkeeper. We do daily reports every day. Our monies have to come out to the penny. Once a month, we do a monthly report. And we send our monies to the state. They go directly to the Secretary of State. We are audited by the Attorney General and by AOC. And I'm not real sure about my staff because I never asked them, but the circuit clerks voted many years ago to go into the county retirement system. And so we are in CERS, which is the county retirement system, instead of KERS. And the reason for that was the county retirement system is in much better shape than the Kentucky retirement system. That is really about the only contact that I have with the physical court other than the county law library. Now the physical court or the county judge's office or whatever does pay that salary, which is $100 a month.
And I think if memory serves me right, that's actually a statute that
Yes,
requires that.
correct.
So it's not something we, it's something that's mandated. So
Yes,
even
not
there's not a lot of discretion. It's something that we are to do.
it's not something they volunteered to do. The other thing is AOC pays rent on all the facilities that we use, like the district courtroom, the circuit courtroom, the judge's offices, my office.
As well as a percent of utilities and things that are used for the court system or by the court system, we get a certain percentage reimbursement.
And I believe, I'm not sure, but does the PVA pay rent? I think we're the only office that actually pays rent in the courthouse.
At this time, you're right. Previously, the city did pay a minimal thing, okay. But you are right. And actually, you know, that's one benefit of having the court system intertwined with that. It does help us have a facility and a means of revenue to help offset the cost of operating that. So you're right. To my knowledge, you're right. You're
the only other thing that I wanted to bring up, because anybody that's interested in running for my office may want to know, the circuit clerk does not make the same salary as other elected officials. We make less money, and that's been a big problem with the circuit clerks for a long time, because we feel like we have more responsibility. We feel like we have more employees that we're responsible for. We just feel like our office is responsible for so many things, and we affect so many people's lives. And we feel like that we're undervalued. You know, we think we should make as much money as other elected officials. They have tried for many years to get that corrected ever since I've been in office. Now, I've never fought with them over that because, and I don't care to tell you why, I worked for the state for many years, or for the county at the circuit clerk's office, and then went to work for the state. I guess my high salary when I worked was $22,000 one year. So when I went to work as a circuit clerk, when I was elected, and I think my first year, the entry-level salary at the time was $63,000. Well, I thought I was rich. So I don't complain about my salary. Now, a lot of circuit clerks do. I feel very blessed.
And I would agree with you, Darlene. I don't think, we've touched on it a little bit here, people really have a lot of people don't have the full gist of exactly what y'all are tasked with. And I guess kind of to touch on it, maybe something we get into in another episode, but as far as kind of referring back, the other constitutional offices in the county are pretty much mandated. That's what I said.
Correct.
Myself or my office does not set my salary, the jail or the sheriff, circuit clerk, any of those. What they are, they're basically based on two components. Population of the county size mm-hmm. affects that,
yes.
as well as there's a scale of how long you served. And those two things
yes.
is what you look at the chart and whatever those two set your salary. So
yeah, there was a KRS, I believe it was 93 or 94, I'm not sure, that set the salaries of local officials. And for whatever reason, at the time, the circuit clerks were left out of that. Everybody was included in that but the circuit clerks. And I feel like that's the only way that'll ever be resolved is for them to amend that and include them in that. That was through, you know, that's, and that you're correct. That has nothing to do with anybody in the county. You know, that, I am in no way
yeah.
insinuating that the county judge or the county attorney or the sheriff or whoever does not deserve their salary. You know what I mean? I would not want anybody to think that I would, but.
In talking about it, and we've touched a lot, you went into a great deal of detail, you know, as far as court thing. One thing that one part of your office that we've not really talked about other than you made mention of the driver's license permit is that branch of your office. That's, in essence, a whole other office that does a whole lot of things that is under your control, too. And as far as getting permits, IDs, the organ donor thing. So if we want to kind of touch on some of those things in that part of your office a little bit.
One of the things that people get really upset with us about, I have really stressed this to my employees. When you come into my office for the first time to get a permit or an ID, you must have with you your original birth certificate and your original Social Security card. I am trying to impress upon the people how important this is, especially now, because in 2019, the Real ID Act goes into effect in January of 2019. And if you do not have your original Social Security card and your original birth certificate, and it is not scanned on to your driver's license and or permit or ID or whatever you've got, you will not be able to board a plane. You will not be able to enter any federal government building or any state government building. And people really do not stop and think when they say, well, I'm not going to fly anywhere, I'm not going out of the country, or I'm not going here. I assure you that eventually you will go to the Social Security office. You cannot get in if you do not have this information. So they get really upset with me. They want to use the little certificate they get from the hospital. It's got the footprints on it. That's not your original birth certificate. Has to be from Frankfurt, has to have the seal on it. Your Social Security is not supposed to be laminated. It is so important, and this has been going on since 9/11. It's not like it's something new. I mean, it's been almost 20 years in the making, and they continue to give Kentucky's extensions. I really don't think they'll get another one. I think 2019 it's going to happen. The license will then be good for 8 years instead of four. It will be $42 or $48. Now, you're still going to be able to get a license or an ID without that original information being scanned onto your license or your ID. But you will not be able to use it for an official ID. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you said, you mentioned it would not suffice if you was trying to get a passport or to go into right. one of your the federal buildings. And I guess this is kind of a fair place to, I think, put in here. You know, regardless of if you agree with it, don't agree with it, that's where I'd like to, I guess, encourage our citizens to be patient. You know, if they come to your office wanting to do that, it's not you or your staff that's mandating this. It's required of you to do it this way. So to get angered or, you know, discouraged with you all is not fair. And that goes with any office. You know, so many of our, I've got the same thing in my office. There's things that by law that we're required or we can only do so much. It doesn't mean that we necessarily always agree with them. So it's not your all's goal, and it's definitely not your office trying to create difficulty for them. It's just adhering to what you're required to
and you want to do what's best for your citizens. So you want them to be able to get into the Social Security office, you know, when they need to get there. And they can't do that if they don't have that information.
But you made some good points. And I think shows like this, just your explanation of that definitely helps. And that's what we want to do. You know, maybe if somebody listens to this, they'll have a better understanding when they come in. And so you don't have to explain. So hopefully we've done a better job educating them. I guess, you know, a couple other things that kind of tie into that end is I think the organ donor is kind of associated yes. with the driver's license into your office. So if you want to, maybe people don't really aware of what that is, how they sign up and what it goes to.
Okay. Anybody can be an organ donor. A lot of people think they're too old. A lot of people might think they're too sick. Anybody can be an organ donor. Only 2% of people die in a way that they can actually donate their organs. A lot of people think, well, they'll just let me die in the hospital. You know, it's not going to happen. If you're in a car wreck, you know, chances are you may die before you get to the hospital. They can't use your organs, you know. You know, people just don't understand how that process works. But if they could see sometimes the things I see at clerks conferences, as a matter of fact, last week, a young man came to our conference. He was 13 years old. His mom spoke. At 15 months old, he got sick. They had no idea what was wrong. He was born with a defective heart. They told him that he had to have a heart transplant. Of course, they weren't having any of that. They took him to all these different people, doctors. At 18 months old, they finally accepted what the doctors were telling them. Put him on a heart transplant list. He was one of the lucky ones. He got a heart within 10 days. He's 13 now. He plays baseball, basketball. It's just amazing what you can do if you understand. My husband was completely against this until he saw some of this at one time, and he changed his mind.
Looks like, Darlene, we're running out of time again. I think we'll have a chance to come back for one more time and get some of your closing thoughts on what this office and serving Powell County has meant to you over the years.
Sure, thank you.